Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see you, some of you for the first time. You know, my wife and I were in Arizona this week, and we were reminded of how beautiful this place is. I mean, cactus, sand, triple-digit temperatures. We couldn't wait to get back here. Why did we go? Because we had to go. Ministerial meetings that took place. We were glad to be back. We were gone Sunday, came back Wednesday. Also, by the way, how many of you actually received in your inbox an e-letter from this church? Yes? Okay, maybe some of you. Some of you may be saying, no, I didn't get that e-letter. Well, if you did not get it, it's not a conspiracy. We want to get your email. So just be in contact with our church manager, office manager, Tina Cochran. Just email her, and we will get you on that distribution. By the way, guest visitors, special potluck today, so we invite you to come, be our guest. Of course, if you are a member, of course you will be there. Let's have prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, this is your time. And Lord, we pray that the meditations of our heart would be acceptable to you. And that, Lord, you would do something mysterious in us. Revive us, challenge us, awaken us, Lord, to the spiritual battles going on and to who you are. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to read with me a passage that I know you're familiar with, a verse found in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Here we go. Be alert and of sober mind. Come on, guys, read it. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Have you felt his breath on the back of your neck lately? He's alive and well, and he is very real. I want you to go with me on an imaginary journey to an unthinkable place. To the headquarters of hell. Go with me there for just a moment. And I want you to imagine an auditorium filled with demons. An auditorium there to hear the latest tactics that will be exercised upon human beings. And so there is a spokesman who will be presenting the latest ideas. Today's topic is how best to defeat a professed Christian. The demons are anticipatory about what will be presented. And a hush darkens the already dark crowd, and a high-ranking official steps to the podium. We can't get all Christians, he begins, to stop going to church. We can't stop Christians from owning a Bible. We cannot stop Christians from having conservative values. But there is something we can do, he says. We can keep all of them from making a vital connection with God. We can keep those pathetic human beings from having a relationship with Jesus. Let them go to church. Let them actually be consumed with ministry and good things, but don't let them connect with God. Plant ideas in their mind like self-righteousness, self-sufficiency, self-salvation. Let them think that they really don't need God. All they need is good behavior. In short, distract them on how lost they are. The spokesman continues, but was interrupted by one bold demon. How are we going to do that? Keep them busy, busy, busy. You know, give them all kinds of things to do, all kinds of important things in their mind to do. Keep them busy. Hypnotize them with busyness. In fact, have the parents believe that they need to put their career ahead of their children. Have the children believe that they need to stay busy and all they really have time left to do is eat and sleep. Stimulate their minds, young and old, with all kinds of activities. In fact, make sure that they keep the TV on. The DVD is going, the MP3 is playing. Make sure the iPods are active and the internet is on and social media is connected with. And make sure the radio's going. And when they're in the car, don't let them talk. Let them listen to something else. Get the video games playing. Devour their minds with activity. Busy them, so the speaker says, to the demons. In fact, get them captivated by pop culture and the media. Pickle their minds with what's happening in the world that they have no interest in spiritual things. Even in their recreation, make it man-made. And by the way, this constant information flow will begin to do its effect. And pretty soon, those pathetic human beings, hey, they won't even want to connect with God. But one thing, so the spokesman says to the demons, one thing that's so critical, do not let those humans pray. Do whatever you need to do, but do not let them have any time with God. Because if they do, our power is broken. Last Sabbath, we began a brand new sermon series called Making the Connection. We were talking about how God was the inventor of the first wireless connection. That was a move that he had to make because Adam and Eve, living in the Garden of Eden, broke the face-to-face connection when they ate the forbidden fruit. And no longer could they stand in the presence of God, and they were forced to leave. And so God said, hey, there's an invisible connection for you. It's called prayer. And we can still communicate, not face-to-face, but through invisible airwaves. But ever since that time, the devil has done his best to try to find whatever tactic he can think of to disrupt our prayer life. How has his tactics been working on you? How about me? Consider this book, Heavenly Places, and this quote. There is a mighty power in prayer. Our great adversary is constantly seeking to keep the troubled soul away from who? God. An appeal to heaven by the humblest saint is more to be dreaded by Satan than the decrees of cabinets or the mandates of kings. The enemy of souls dreads your prayers. How much are you praying? Kids, the word for today is place. Count how many times I say the word place. Now, kids, you can't just count with your mind like, okay, that's another one. No, you got to write it down. So get a piece of paper. How many times do I say the word place and I'll have something for you? I refresh the candy stock so there's plenty for you. Surely there has got to be a way to make a connection with God despite the devil's onslaught of attacks upon us. Where could we find the solution? Where could we go for the best example of what it means to be a prayer warrior? Who could that be? But none other than the greatest prayer warrior in the world, Jesus Christ. You know, you think about it, the disciples had observed Jesus often in prayer. They noticed that he was always up before the rising sun praying. They noticed that when he prayed, he didn't use religious jargon or cliches. They noticed when he prayed, he was real. They also noticed that when he prayed, things happened. They also noticed that, you know, before big events, decisions, Jesus would actually pray more. And so, observing that Jesus was an incredible prayer warrior, they decided to ask him the question, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? In essence, Jesus, in the world that we live in, with all the distractions, can you show us how to have a prayer life? And friends, it's something that I need to hear today. And so, let's go there. Matthew chapter 6, it's recorded. His answers are recorded right there. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, I invite you to go there. Jesus is giving a sermon, and in this sermon, he embeds the answers to those questions about prayer. What is prayer, by the way? A child could tell us. Prayer is simply communicating with God. Someone once said that when we hear from God, it's schizophrenia. I don't agree with that. That's supposed to be a joke. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, we don't want anybody falling asleep here today. All right, so. Therefore, we have some sermon notes for you. Pretend like you're in class. No, don't pretend like you're in class. But what I want you to do is grab your sermon notes, because this is going to help you remember what we've talked about. And the first thing we want to point out is that there are four critical lessons that Jesus has for us on prayer. Four critical lessons. Four critical lessons about making the connection. And number one is to pray routinely. Pray routinely. When Jesus begins his answer, he doesn't say, if you pray. He says, whenever you pray. Whenever you pray. It's presumed that you will be praying. If you're a follower of Christ, you're naturally going to want to talk to him on a regular basis. You think about your best friends, your family members. Don't you connect with them on a regular basis? Routinely, yes, you connect with those who are important to you. Isn't that the case also with God? Well, he'll understand. I mean, I'm busy. I could probably put him off a little bit, really. Actually, Jesus said, when you pray, pray routinely. Now, routinely, we're talking about a time. We're talking about putting it into your schedule. Now, most Americans say, yes, I pray. I think it's 70, 80% of Americans say they pray every day. Pray over meals, maybe pray in the car to get there on time. Maybe, pray when there's a crisis. Maybe pray for your children, you know, just before they leave to go to school. Yes, Americans pray. But Jesus puts a premium on personal, private prayer. He says, pray routinely, not sporadically. Not, you know, when I have time. In fact, does the devil ever take a break? Does he take weekends off? Come on. Surely the devil takes Sabbaths off so that we can at least have a Sabbath to enjoy, right? I mean, none of us have ever had an argument on the way to church. Surely not. Not on Sabbath. What? No, the devil works 24/7. Therefore, should we not be praying every day? Privately. Do you have that time carved out intentionally with Jesus early in your day? Because Jesus wants to spend time with you. Matthew chapter 6, now verse 6 again. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Making the connection, number two, pray in a designated secret place. Write it down. Designated secret place. Jesus said, go into your room, shut the door, and pray privately. A place where only you and him will meet. A place that is secret. Not necessarily where the whole family will come because you want private time with the Lord. A place where there's not distractions. Perhaps it's the dining room. Maybe your spouse is sleeping still. Maybe it's the closet. You have a big enough one. Maybe it's the garage. You know, wherever that place is in Colorado, it was the basement for me. Do you have that designated spot that you meet with the Lord? Now, one thing is for certain. When we wake up many times, we're tired, right? We're tired, okay? And we want to be efficient with our time because we're busy people. We're important. We're busy. And so, you know, wake up and, you know, okay, I'm going to have a little time with, I'm going to have my prayer time, but let's see. Just going to check my phone real quick. You know, I mean, I could have gotten a text last night, maybe at 11. Let me just, it won't take long. Just turn that on right there. And might as well, while I'm at it, just see if there's any emails. Okay. And, oh, there was an earthquake in Japan? And before you know it, what happens? But you are no longer in the mindset to connect with God, right? Because you've already connected with the world, with your smartphone, with Facebook, with whatever. And so what I want to challenge you is when you wake up, after you use the restroom, the very first thing, connect with God. Go to your designated secret place and connect with your Heavenly Father. You know, you think about it. We have a designated place where we eat, a designated place where we sleep, a designated place where we get ready, where we will read, a designated place where we will relax. What about a designated place with the King of the universe? Well, you know, I mean, he's always with me. I mean, wherever I am, that's designated. No. No, Jesus is saying, go to a secret place and be with him. For me, it was my closet for many years. And I'll tell you, you know, with children, you could tell them to do this or this, but when they catch you in your secret place, that's a powerful witness. Jesus longs to meet us at a designated time in a designated place to spend time with him. Matthew chapter 6 and now verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Which leads us to making the connection number 3. Pray genuinely and concisely. When it comes to prayer, basically, let's not babble. You know, this is the only place in the entire New Testament where that phrase, vain repetitions, is used. And it does mean to babble. It means to repeat yourself over and over. It means to have thoughtless chatter. It means to say the same thing over and over. To speak mechanically. In other words, Jesus is saying, Be authentic. Be real. And think about your conversation. How easy it is, though, to slip into, you know, the spiritual jargon and the cliches. Can you imagine if when you're with your friends, your communication is filled with cliches? Nice day, isn't it? I wonder how the weather is. I mean, you know, superficial, right? I mean, when we're with friends that we care for, we want to know the real thing going on. We want to be authentic with them with us, and same with God. And it does take a little bit of effort. But Jesus wants us to be real even when it comes to our feelings. Come to the Lord in anger if that's how you're feeling. Come to Him in depression if that's how you're feeling. And tell Him, Lord, you know, I'm feeling blue today. You know, I don't know why, but this is what's happening. I'm just feeling this way. And you know what's remarkable? The Lord will do something when we come being real with Him. Something happens in that prayer time. And we're talking about more than a minute. How many times did King David go to his prayers feeling scared, hopeless, fearful, and at the end of his Psalms, he senses the promises of God? Look at Psalms chapter 62, verse 8. Trust in Him all times. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. We can be real with God and pour out our hearts, just as you would a friend. Now I'll let you in on a little secret about myself. You know, we're talking here about getting up early. And some of us are yawning even right now. And I don't know if that's because of the sermon or because we're tired. Yeah, I think it's because we're just tired. We're too busy. We are. We're too busy. But here's I'm going to tell you something here. I have a problem. And that is, I like to stay up late. Okay? So, you know, if I stay up late, then I am making a decision that will affect my time with the Lord the next morning, right? Either I'm going to be like just barely keeping my eyes awake as I'm reading my Bible and trying to have a conversation with the Lord, just barely making it through, or I might just sleep through it. Now, I know no one here can relate to this, but here's the reality. This is what I'm finding. You know, Benjamin Franklin's early to bed. You know, Benjamin Franklin, early to bed. This is what I'm finding. Early to bed. Early to rise in prayer makes me spiritually healthy, spiritually wealthy, and spiritually wise. The world does not reward us for staying up late. But somehow, spiritually, we're rewarded when we get up early. But it starts the night before. Something I'm learning. I'm growing in this area. You know, when I wake up, my routine is to have that time in prayer with the Lord. And, you know, maybe I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with the day, especially being at a new church and everyone that we're meeting that's so nice, by the way. You're all very nice, very friendly, very nice. But, you know, it's like, what's your name again? Same as last week when I told you it was Mary. Oh, hi, Mary. You know, it's a little stressful trying to remember. I wish I had a better memory. And just, you know, getting to know our new community that we're so excited. Lena and I are so excited to be here with our family. But, you know, in that prayer, Lord, you know, we're feeling a little overwhelmed. And you know, just talking to the Lord. And even though there may not be any solutions or anything that comes to my mind in terms of solving the problem, there's a peace that passes understanding when we're in the presence of God. A designated place. Jesus said, don't babble in prayer. Avoid prayer cliches, holy jargon. And think about this. Well, you know, I wake up in the morning, I'm a little tired. So we start praying, right? And pretty soon, now nobody here this has ever happened to, but pretty soon, this is what I've read and what I've experienced. Pretty soon, anyway, Lord, so where was I? All right, we drift off, right? Okay, we drift, and pretty soon, 10 minutes has gone by, and Lord, what do we talk about? I don't know, but anyway, let's get back to it. And then, the other thing, we start thinking about our day, what we got to do, and you know, okay, here's a solution. Where do we learn the solution from? Jesus Christ. What was his technique in praying? He prayed out loud. It's very simple. Hey, did you know that we talk out loud? Yeah. You know, and we're communicating with God, right? And, I mean, we could do telepathic, but how about just speaking out loud? And so that's what I do. That's what Jesus did. That's how we know what his prayers were, because people listened and they wrote down those prayers. And so I will many times do prayer walks. And yeah, someone might be thinking, this guy's talking to himself. I don't care. Because if I just go silent, pretty soon I don't know where my thoughts are going. But when you're praying out loud, you're so intentional. You're more concise. You can be genuine. Use the words that come to you. You're talking to your Creator, your Savior, your friend. And of course, if something keeps coming to your mind about the day, oh man, I got this thing. Lord, this just keeps coming. I got to give it to you right now. This meeting, this person, whatever. I'm going to bring it up to you, right? It just keeps coming to my mind, Lord. Let's continue. Matthew chapter 6, now verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, that's the babblers, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask him. Really? Which leads us to making the connection, number 4, pray by faith. You say, okay, wait a minute, pray by faith. First of all, why in the world am I even praying if God already knows what I need? What a waste of time. I'm into efficiency, and I don't need to, you know, tell God what's going on in my life. You know, he already knows it. You just said it. In fact, Jesus just said it. Let me tell you why. Why do we pray? Fundamentally, number one reason, it is a tangible exercise of your faith and mine. It's a way for us to demonstrate to God that we trust him with our lives, with every part of our lives. Praying gives God permission to intervene in our lives. And so, sometimes when we pray, we have burdens, and we're just not sure how God's going to lead us with that burden. You know, Lena and I are right now in the process of selling a home in Colorado. We've had it on the market for 4 months. Hey, what's going on? But we trust God with his timing. You know, I mean, it's okay. We trust God. Sometimes it's hard because we want the answers when we want them. We want the prayer the way we pray it. And we are going to be talking about how to deal with unanswered prayer later in this series. But praying is the ultimate act of faith. And so just to review, Jesus gave us 4 key ways to connect with God. Number 1, pray routinely. Number 2, pray in a designated secret place. Number 3, pray genuinely and concisely. And number 4, pray by faith. Now, some of us may be thinking, I don't even know how I would pray. I mean, how could I pray for 10, 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour? What am I going to say to God for that long? That's way too long. And Jesus anticipated that concern. In fact, he anticipated that concern with his disciples. And so he said, disciples, let me give you a template prayer. Let me give you a pattern of how to pray. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Now, before you shut me off and say, oh, I got that one memorized, let's look at it again for the very first time. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, as we look at this prayer more closely, we realize that there are 11 phrases. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. 11 phrases, and if you were to divide those 11 phrases up, you'd realize 6 of those 11 phrases are all about how great God is, how wonderful he is, and how he is worthy of our praise and honor. And 5 are about our human predicament, our needs, our sins, and our need for forgiveness. And yet, how often do I do a cursory, Lord, you're great. Okay, let's get into the good stuff. Let me tell you all the things that I got going on. And skip praising our Lord. You know what that tells me? One of the key purposes of prayer is worship. It brings us into his presence, and it trains us to celebrate his characteristics, what he is good for. The Bible tells us in Revelation 5, verse 12, that millions upon millions of angels gather around Jesus and sing songs of praise. You know this verse, Revelation 5, 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. We can learn something from the angels when it comes to how to bring praise to our God. You think about Jesus. Why is he worthy of our praise? Because of all that he did for you and me. The darling of heaven left the comforts of heaven and risked everything, including his own eternal life, and came to this earth and died for you and me. A death that he did not deserve, a shameful death. He endured every temptation, every heartache that we did. And then he conquered the second death so that we never have to die forever and ever. And he rose from the grave and he promises to come back for you and me very soon. That is the Jesus that we worship. The Jesus who loved us that much. Jesus longs for a relationship with you and me, but he longs also for a designated time and a designated place with him. In his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, pastor and author Bill Hybels came up with an acronym. After studying the Lord's Prayer, he pored over it, studied it, and realized that there's actually 4 parts to the prayer, and I know some of you are aware of this segmenting of the prayer. 4 parts he saw, and he called it ACTS. So I thought that this might be a good way for us to review how to pray as we're wrapping up our sermon. A stands for adoration. Go ahead and write that down. Adoration. Adoration. We always want to begin our prayer adorning our Savior. Praising him and acknowledging his characteristics, his traits. You know, one way that can be very helpful is to actually go to the Word of God and go and open the book of Psalms. There are built-in praises for you to read. You can actually pray them out loud, read the Psalms out loud, and gives you ideas on how to praise your God. So, you know, during that praise segment, just begin in Psalms. Another way to praise the Lord in your prayer is to sing. And yes, sometimes as I'm walking, I will be singing not very loud, but singing to the Lord. We all have a song in our heart for Jesus. We can also write it down. Journal. Journal those praises. Just, you know, begin to write, Lord, let me just think about how great you are. As we begin to address God the Father as our Father, we are reminded that we are His children and that God the Father wants to take care of us. He has our best interests. So we focus our shift on Him first. After we are praising the Lord with adoration, then C. C stands for what? For a confession. Now, if there's any part of the prayer that we're most uncomfortable with, it is acknowledging that we are not perfect. In fact, we like to think of ourselves in degrees of good. I'm better than them, better than her. I'm gooder than them. But the fact is, the Bible is very clear, and I knew that was not the right word, Tanita. That was just meant to, because she's taking notes. And the reason why we know that we're not all gooder is because the Bible says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We're all in need of grace. None of us are good enough. Behavior will never be enough. And the good news is, therefore, the closer we get to Jesus, the more He enables us to be like Him. It's not something we have to work for. It happens. It just happens mysteriously. Well, we confess our sins. And this is, you know, a time when we would be specific. Lord, take me back yesterday. I'm not thinking of anything right now. I think I was pretty good yesterday. Oh, yeah, thank you for that reminder, and that one, and that one. You know, and acknowledge those sins specifically. And by the way, we want to not hold grudges. You know, we're asking Jesus to forgive us, but we must also forgive others, right? And can you believe that actually our prayers can be inhibited if we are, in fact, holding a grudge? T stands for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It's a great exercise to recount what God did for you and me yesterday. What were your blessings, Lord? Let me think about that. Let me express those to you. And let's thank God for just who He is, and we thank God for all of His grace upon our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances. So Lord, I'm going to be thankful for you because even though this is happening, I know all things work together for good. And S stands for supplication. Ah, finally, supplication. That's what I like about prayer. I was wondering when you were going to get there because I got a lot of problems, needs, challenges, and that's my favorite part of going to prayer. And you know what? You know what? That's all right. Because 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon Him. And as we mature spiritually, we realize that God wants to do more than just give us good things in answer to our prayers. He actually wants us to experience praise and thanksgiving and acknowledgement of our sins through repentance. But here we are, praising the Lord, but also in supplication, asking for our needs. And this is the time to be praying for others, intercessory prayer, praying for others. So here we have it, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, a roadmap for you and me as we pray. I'll tell you, you follow that, you're going to have a hard time keeping it to 15 minutes or 30 minutes. You might find yourself running out of time, which means you got to get up a little bit earlier. Praise the Lord. You know what? Our time is never in vain with the Lord. In the book Steps to Christ, there is an encouraging quote. Keep your wants your joys, your sorrows, your cares, and your fears before God. You cannot burden him. You cannot weary him. He who numbers the hair of your head is not indifferent to the wants of his children. That's a really cool quote. Not just our needs, our wants. God puts dreams in our heart. Today, Jesus is inviting you and me to be very intentional in having a designated place to meet him every day, a designated time. George Mueller was a man who did just that. He lived in the 19th century. And he was a man who was known for establishing orphanages in England. What's remarkable about George Mueller is that he built these massive orphanages without any debt and without ever taking or making a request for funding. Everything was done through prayer. George Mueller spent time every morning with his Lord. When it was in operation for 60 years, many times he did not even know where the next meal would come. One time, just before lunch, the story is told how the kids were all there, lots of children, and they were wondering, where is the food going to come? And so one of the assistants came to Mueller and said, hey, what are we going to do? And George said, hey, it's not noon yet. Shortly after that, unsolicited, a wagon came filled with food. God knows all of our needs before we even ask. When someone asked Mueller, how do you pray? He said, well, I pray every day. I pray in the morning, but I also pray during the day. But I also do something else. I will take my Bible, John Mueller would say, and I would find a particular promise in the Word of God that would apply to that particular need or problem, and I would circle it, and I would meditate on that promise. And if you knew John Mueller, he would continue to be relentless in his prayer until the answer came. He always began his day in prayer. One day while he was crossing the Atlantic, there was a heavy fog. And he had an appointment in Quebec. And he needed to get there by the next day in the afternoon. He told the captain, hey, I got to get there. The captain said, well, we're slowing down. It's not safe. It's too foggy. No, I need to get there. Sorry, you're going to miss your appointment. So what did Mueller say? He said, let's pray. So he said, let's go downstairs to the map room. And the captain said, you're wasting your time. You know, I've got some experience here. And what did they do? Prayed. And of course, you know how the story goes, or I wouldn't be telling it to you. But when they came upstairs onto the deck of the ship, the fog was already clearing. God hears our prayers. Now here's a litmus test for how much you're praying. Are you seeing God answering prayers every day in your life? You see, when we're in his presence every day, when we are bringing things to him every day, then we're bound to be seeing answered prayers how often? Every day. And so I would challenge you, if you're not already, pick a designated place and a designated time, preferably in the morning, and spend time with your very best friend. Because Jesus, he longs to do great things through your life and mine. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, we're not here on this earth alone, and we know that you have much more work to do through us and with us for your glory and honor, Lord. And so we pray that you would give us a new routine in our life, if necessary, to connect with you like we've never done before, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.